Last week we began trying to understand this amazing and powerful and deep and long, and as we'll see, there's going to be valleys and there'll be hills. The sugya of Eretz Yisrael, of what Eretz Yisrael is, and how last week we spoke a little bit about how when we come to Eretz Yisrael and we're in Eretz Yisrael, the more time that we're here, and if, as Rav Kook said at the end of last week's shiur, we're yearning for Eretz Yisrael, the natural osios that we were learning out about before we started studying Eretz Yisrael, those osios which are found in their most basic sense in the soul of the Jewish people are activated. Every person has osios which are indigenous to their soul, which are natural in the soul of the Jewish person. And being in Eretz Yisrael, as we spoke about last week, a lot, somehow activates the or hachayim, the light of life, which is encapsulated in these souls, which are part and parcel of the Jewish neshama. Rav Kook, towards the end of his remarkable sefer, he didn't write the actual sefer in order, but his thoughts, which were organized by his son, Rav Tzvi Yehuda, in the Sefer Oros HaTorah. So towards the end of Oros HaTorah, in the second to last chapter, the very last os, there are seven osios in Perek Yud Beis. So in the last entry, in the penultimate chapter of Oros HaTorah, Rav Kook writes the following, which is really a lead-in to the last chapter, which we'll have to study, you know, along the way during the introductions, here and there. Rav Kook said, "Kishem she'in Knesset Yisrael motzeh el ha'poel es sgulosaha ki'im be'eretz Yisrael." That in the same way that the Jewish people, it's impossible, we're just helplessly lost without Eretz Yisrael, that the Jewish people cannot bring about the inner skula of the Jewish people, cannot be actualized, cannot be activated without being in Eretz Yisrael. So that same potential is locked, even if we're here. Kein ein adam Yisrael motzi es skulosav haruchanios ki im al yidei haTorah. So too, a person cannot activate our true potential. We cannot activate our true potential without connecting ourselves to the natural, fertile landscape of Torah, which is the most organic, comfortable place for the Jewish neshama. Shehi ha'eretz haruchanes hamat'imo l'skulas ha'neshama Yisraelis. Because the Torah's fertile ground is the spiritual counterpart, the spiritual twin to the skulas ha'neshama Yisraelis, to that special, unique, and intrinsic gift of the Jewish soul. But it's not just a comparison on the level of just like we need Eretz Yisrael, we need Torah. Here, in this last entry in Perek Yud Beis, Rav Kook is actually setting the stage, is setting the groundwork for Perek Yud Gimel, which is the ultimate chapter of Oros HaTorah, which is all about Torah's Eretz Yisrael. It's all about the unique level of keeping the Torah, living the Torah, learning Torah in Eretz Yisrael. And here in this last chapter of Perek Yud Beis, in this last little piece of Perek Yud Beis, Rav Kook is telling us not just that Eretz Yisrael is essential to the flourishing of the Jewish neshama, and also it happens to be that Torah is essential for the flourishing of the Jewish neshama, but that the two of them are linked. It's not kishem on the level of a mushal, but two things which are disjointed that are not really connected. It's just as we need Eretz Yisrael, so too we need Torah. But the two of those things are co-requisites. You cannot have one without the other, in the true sense of the word. Rav Teichtel, Tzadik Yisod Olam, who died on his way to Eretz Yisrael, who promised Hashem that if he would save him and if he would be with him during the Holocaust, he would write a work defending the movement of Aliyah, of people coming to Eretz Yisrael, of people returning after such a long galus. And who was killed al Kiddush Hashem at the hands of the Nazis. So in the Hakdama, in the Psicha, really, of the Sefer Ema Banam Smecha, Rav Teichtel writes a remarkable thing. Using language that is borrowed from the Svarnim of the mystics, he uses a language of Trei Rayin de lo Misparshin, which is normally a phraseology which is used about certain Kabbalistic concepts which are always linked together. Rav Teichtel, in his sensitivity and his brilliance, writes in the Psicha, Torah ve'Eretz Yisrael b'dibur echad ne'emru. Like Shomer v'Zachar on Shabbos, Torah ve'Eretz Yisrael b'dibur echad ne'emru. They were said in one breath. But not just in one breath, but using the same terminology, using the same words. V'him trei reyin de lo misparshin. They're two best friends that never separate. Two dear friends who cannot live without each other. The Torah ksiv, in the Torah it says, Torah tziva lanu Moshe morasha. That the Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu commanded us is a morasha. And that word morasha, Rav Teichtel says, is used in the Torah in one other place to create a sort of gzera shava. Be'eretz Yisrael ksiv, v'nasati osa lachem morasha. I gave you Eretz Yisrael as a morasha. That the two of them are joined together in this one word of morasha. Morasha l'gzera shava l'horos d'inyanum shavim etzlenu v'ein makbilim hafrada. Ein makablim hafrada, excuse me. That the morasha of Eretz Yisrael, the inheritance of Eretz Yisrael, and the inheritance of Torah, two things which are given over to us in the language of morasha, will not Einam mekablim. They will not accept. They will not receive. They cannot fathom being separated from one another. And I want to try to explain really what that means. That Eretz Yisrael and Torah are trei reyin de lo misparshin, two friends that can never separate. That k'shem she'ein k'nes Yisrael motzeas pu'ula ki'im be'Eretz Yisrael, just like we can't live without Eretz Yisrael, we can't live without Torah, and dafka the two of them together. So the truth is, this idea from Rav Kook and from Rav Teichtel appears in earlier Svarim as well. And the Maharal in source number 4 already alludes to this idea when he writes, in several places, that HaTorah u'Beis HaMikdash hem shtei madregos zu al zu. That the Torah and the Beis HaMikdash are two worlds that are built somewhat on top of each other, somewhat next to each other, but certainly whether they're one above the other or one next to the other, the two of them are juxtaposed to one another. HaTorah u'Beis HaMikdash הם שני מדרגות זו על זו. ולכן מצינו בכל מקום שניהם אלו יחד. That's why you find over and over in our literature Beis HaMikdash and Torah brought together. How do we find Beis HaMikdash and Torah brought together in our literature? So the Maharal cites as one example, but if you start to look throughout Tanakh and throughout the Gemaros and throughout the Siddur, you'll find all over the place that Torah and Eretz Yisrael, Torah and the Beis HaMikdash, are linked together. K'ma shekasev yihi ratzon l'ufanecha Hashem Elokeinu v'lokei avoseinu Sheyibana beis hamikdash b'mhir v'yaminu v'sinich halkinu b'sorasecha. My high, that all of a sudden we're asking Hashem, build the beis hamikdash, give us our unique portion in the Torah. But for those of us who understand, and for those of us who were a little bit learning last week, that Eretz Yisrael and Torah are linked in the sense that the Torah comes alive. Our osios that are contained within our neshamos begin to reverberate and begin to become illuminated when we're in Eretz Yisrael. Build the Beis HaMikdash, and through that same Chalkeinu B'Sor Secha, give us our Chelek in Torah. Because the Torah and the Beis HaMikdash are linked together. But what the Maharal is alluding to here, of course, is the Mishnah in Meseches Klayim. He's not speaking directly about the Beis HaMikdash only. But of course, the famous Mishnah in Meseches Klayim, which if you never learned it in this context, you certainly heard it before, that there are Eser Kedushos, there are 10 levels of Kedusha that we speak of in Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael, which is a level of Kedusha that Chutz La'aretz doesn't have, is Kadosh, is Mekudeshes Mikol Ha'aratzos. It's holier than all of the other lands. The Mishnah in Kalayim in the first parak goes on to explain why that is, because we can bring Truma, and there's Shvias here, and there's different things which only exist in Eretz Yisrael. Ayaros Hamukafos Choma Mekudeshes Mimenu, walled cities have a level of Kedusha above that. Lifnim Nachoma Mekudesh Mihem, inside the walls of Yerushalayim itself, are holier than all the other walled cities. Har Abayis Mekudesh Mimenu, inside the walls that surround Har Abayis, is the next level of Kedusha. Achel Mekudesh Mimenu, Ezras Nashim Mekudesh Mimenu, Ezras Yisrael Mekudeshes Mimena, Ezras HaKohanim Mekudeshes Mimena. Each level going deeper and deeper into the Beis HaMikdash until a person gets into the Kodesh HaKadoshim are successive levels of Kedusha, 10 Eser levels, Eser Kedusha Sein. So that when the Maharal says that the Beis HaMikdash and Torah go together, we all know, and this is not just in the Maharal, but this is found in the Rishonim, in the discussion, the very technical halachic discussion of Kedusha Rishona, Kedusha L'Shaita, and Kedusha Shnia, Kedusha L'Asad Lavo. The question of the settling of Eretz Yisrael the first time versus the second time, and the difference between the two of them. A careful study of that, one will find in the Rishonim, that the Kedushas Eretz Yisrael is very much linked to the Kedushas Beis HaMikdash. So that when the Maharal says that the Beis HaMikdash and Torah are linked together, what we actually mean is that Eretz Yisrael and Torah are linked together. That the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash, which gives the Kedusha to Eretz Yisrael, well, where does the Beis HaMikdash draw its Kedusha from? Eretz Yisrael receives its Kedusha from the Beis HaMikdash. And the Beis HaMikdash, as the Rambam writes, and as the Baal HaTshuva writes about at length in his Sichos, draws its Kedusha from the Luchos, which is the Torah, which is in the Kodesh Kedashim. So that there's this symbiotic relationship between Eretz Yisrael and the Torah, whereas Eretz Yisrael draws its Kedusha, its strength, from the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash itself draws its strength from the Torah. Because as we have already seen, Him Trei Rei and Delo Misparshim, they're two friends that can never separate. But it's so much deeper than that. In source number 5, the Megala Amukos reveals to us, the revealer of depths, from Krakow, a Jew who was yearning for Eretz Yisrael in the deepest way. You know that the Megala Amukos, behind me on the shelf, should have a copy somewhere. The Megala Amukos has a sefer on Chumash. Don't see it right now behind me. It's here somewhere. The Megala Amukos wrote a sefer on Chumash, but there are those who print the sefer on Chumash as one volume. And a separate section on just Parshas Veschanan, because the Megala Amukos has hundreds of explanations. He has other also sections where he's very, very focused on this inyan, but hundreds of explanations just trying to explain what was the inyan of the 515 tefilos that Moshe Rabbeinu davened to get in Eretz Yisrael. Like there's like the rest of the sefer, and then there's like equal or more. Hundreds of explanations of what was Moshe Rabbeinu yearning for to get to Eretz Yisrael. And as we already know, we have a Kabbalah from the Kutzker The Kotzker once said that why is it that the Jews in Germany, he once heard from some darshan in Germany that he darshaned, why is it that Moshe Rabbeinu, you remember the Medrash that talks about how Hashem showed Moshe Rabbeinu certain things in fire because he didn't know how to make it. Hashem showed Moshe Rabbeinu a fiery menorah because he didn't know how to make it all out of miksha echas, to make it all out of one piece of gold. So he also showed him a shekel out of fire. So this German darshan said, the menorah is very complex. It's buttons and flowers. Kafter v'aferach. It has to be one piece and it's complicated. But a shekel is just a circle. It's not like, it's a circle that weighs a certain amount. It's not like you need to have a big show. He said, because Hashem is trying to show Moshe Rabbeinu that you're supposed to give tzedakah with fire. You're supposed to give tzedakah with passion. You don't just give someone tzedakah, but you give it to them with a smile and you give them passion. So the Kotzker said that the reason that the Germans, that someone, that this darshan in Germany was zocha to have this chiddush, is because in Germany they're very careful with hospitality. You know, the German Jews, they're very hospitable, and they're so that's why they were dafka zocha to that chelik in Torah. They were dafka zocha to that piece in Torah. So the Megal HaMukos has this huge chelik in Torah of yearning for Eretz Yisrael. There's no question he was a Jew who was yearning to be in this place. So Megal HaMukos writes in source number 5, Mefursemes michach meha'emes sod haluchos hayu mishkalam memsa'a. He quotes the Medrash Pirkei Rabbi Elazar and a Kabbalah that we have from the Chachmei HaSod, that the Luchos weighed 40 Sa'ah. Now 40 Sa'ah is a familiar number for us because 40 Sa'ah is the number of Sa'ah that are in a mikvah. Shehi shir mikvah sheishba, taf kuf samach lugin. A mikvah which has 960 lug, if you take 40 Sa'ah and you divide it by lugin, you end up with 960 lug. Ulechein kibel Moshe haTorah b'mem yom, which is why Moshe Rabbeinu was zochah to be makabel luchos for 40 days, one day per sa. Barbaim yom taf kuf samach shaos, 40 days, 24 hours, 960 hours to be makabel luchos. Can I get the 960 sa of the mikvah that a person can tovel himself in Torah? But now listen to this. Nimtza shalom Moshe Torah shabal peh b'taf taf kuf samach shaos shu shir mikvah. Ki ikur hayitzira hu avor Torah shabal peh. Ulachain, this is a remarkable teaching, even though it's not really no get to Eretz Yisrael directly. Ki ikur hayitzira hu avor Torah shabal peh. The whole reason Hashem created the world was to bring about the evolution of the Torah, to help the Torah unfold itself, ultimately bring us the Torah's Mashiach. Ulachain masnisan, the word masnisan, which is that word which means we learnt in a Mishnah, is Vigamatria Taftaf Kosamach, 960, like the number of lug in a mikvah, like the number of lug in the weight of the luchos if it was displaced in water. Ulefi she'ein Torah kitoras Eretz Yisrael, listen to this. And since there is no Torah like the Torah of Eretz Yisrael, and since the Torah thrives, as we saw from Rav Kook and Rav Techtel, and the Mishnah in Kalim and the Maharal, since there is no Torah like the Torah of Eretz Yisrael, the Torah and Eretz Yisrael are two friends that do not separate from each other. V'lechein, therefore, we find in the Bereishis Rabbah, gam kein mahalach shel Eretz Yisrael hu mem yom, shehi taf kuf samach shaos mahalach adam benoni. That's what we find, that to walk from one end of Eretz Yisrael, Chazal tell us in the Bereishis Rabbah, from one end of Eretz Yisrael to the other end of Eretz Yisrael, it takes 40 days. Keneged the 40 sa'ah, keneged the 40 days that Moshe Rabbeinu was up there, 960 hours. Keneged the 960 hours that Moshe was mekabel the Torah, because Eretz Yisrael, even in its measurements, are identical to the Torah. And we are ma'aminim b'nei ma'aminim, ani ma'amin b'amun ha'shlema, in the words of Chazal, we don't need any proofs. But when I first saw this Megal HaMukos, I shared it with a friend of mine who's now in the army. And he said that there's something that people do. I don't think they do it in the army, but it's a thing that I guess maybe teenagers do, maybe older people do also, called the Shvil Yisrael. Right? The Shvil Yisrael. The Shvil Yisrael is a trip that people take from one end of Eretz Yisrael down to the other. And he said, if I'm not mistaken, he said, I think it takes like around 40 days. So we looked it up online. And it says online on the official Shvil Yisrael website, that is, you know, .gov, you know? It says that it takes between 38 and 42 days. Average of 40 days. That the measurements of Eretz Yisrael itself, it takes 40 days to travel from one end of Eretz Yisrael to the other end of Eretz Yisrael. From the north to the south, from the south to the north, whichever way you'd like. Because the Torah itself was given in 40 days, that means that Eretz Yisrael is also, in a certain sense, given in 40 days. And if you remember how Avraham Avinu originally took hold of Eretz Yisrael, he was told, Kum Yisaleich Ba'aretz, go get up and walk around the land. Avraham Avinu did the Shvil Yisrael before anybody did the Shvil Yisrael. And Avraham conquered Eretz Yisrael by probably walking those 40 days, connected the 40 days that we were Mekabel the Torah. So if it's true on the level of Shana, like we saw, if it's true on the level, of Olam, that Eretz Yisrael is 40 days from one end to the other. So you'll see, unbelievable, if it's true on the level of Nefesh, that the Jewish people express themselves fully in Eretz Yisrael and in the fertile soil of the Torah. So we know that from the students of the Baal Shem Tov, that Olam, Shana, and Nefesh all go together. That when Hashem gave the Torah, the three ways that Hashem reveals Himself in the world, when Hashem gave the Torah, He gave the Torah betoch ashan, in a smoke-filled haze over the mountain. Ashan, the students of the Baal Shem Tov explained, is Olam, Shana, and Nefesh. So Hashem reveals Himself in Olam, which is space, Shana is time, and Nefesh means the souls of the Jewish people. If it's true, of course, that the Jewish people are fully expressed in Torah, in Eretz Yisrael, and if it's true that the measurements of on the level of Olam, that Eretz Yisrael is a 40-day journey, because the Torah has to be twinned with the reality of Eretz Yisrael, then of course, we would expect to find as well that in the world of Shana, in the realm of time, Eretz Yisrael and the Torah are linked together. The Mabit, who was Rav Moshe Trani, one of the, I don't know if he was a Ben Bais, but he was certainly part of the Chevra who was hanging out in Tzfat during that remarkable time period with the Beis Yosef, and around that same time, within, give or take, a bunch of years, the Ari and Rav Shlomo Levi Alkovitz and the Alshech and all those Chevra together, so the Mabit, who's buried in Tzfat, writes remarkably in source number 6 in the Sefer Beis Elokim. Va'acha shenitna ha-Torah b'tof mem ches li'yitzira. That if we know that the Torah was given in the year 2448 from creation, v'nishlam, and was completed in the year Taf Peches, 2488, 40 years later, because as we know that according to one daya, at least in the Gemara, Moshe Rabbeinu was Mekabel the Torah Megillos. He was Mekabel the Torah a little bit at a time until finally, on the day that he died, at the end of the 40 years in the desert, Moshe Rabbeinu finally completed the Torah. So the Torah in its completion was completed in the year 2488. So if it's true that the Torah was only completed, we only truly received the Torah in the year 2488 from creation. So perhaps, maybe you once heard before the Gemara that says that from the beginning of time until the Shnos Torah, 2,000 years, there's Alpayim Shana of Tohu, from the beginning of the world of chaos, from the beginning of the world until the Torah was given. And then another 2,000 years, Alpayim Shana, from the time the Torah was given until the time of Mashiach's time. And then, from the time of Mashiach's time until the end, is another 2,000 years, to the year 6,000. Which means that we're now living somewhat in the Yemos HaMashiach. We're a little bit overdue. But we're in the same way that the Torah was not given exactly Al Pi Pshat in the year 2000, or rather 488 years later, was finally received. So the Mabit says, how is it possible that we only receive the Torah in the year 2488 if we were promised, or if the Gemara seems to tell us that after 2,000 years of Tohu, we began the Amos, the Shnos HaTorah. We entered into that world of Torah, the second phase of creation. Sharei hayu shnei Tohu yoser me'alpayim. It was more than 2,000 years. Ukshnestaku b'minyan shnei habriya. But if you look at the story of the unfolding of creation, so then you find that when was Avram Avinu born? So it's a remarkable, we don't believe in coincidences, but it's a remarkable coincidence of history. Like one of the Rosh Yeshiva of the Yeshiva I work in always says, it's not history, but it's his story. It's capital H, Hashem's story. In Hashem's story, when was Avram Avinu born? From creation, from Adam Rishon? In the year 1948, from creation, Avram Avinu was born. And Avram Avinu, the Jew who came and settled Eretz Yisrael the first time, at the age of 52, we have a Masorah when Avram was 52 years old, and he revealed to the world the secret of Ben, of being a Ben, Lamelech, 52. So Avram Avinu was 52 when he discovered the Ribbono Shel Olam, and that there's, it's not like Hashem created the world and left it. So when Avram Avinu was 52, how old was the world? When he discovered God, it was 2,000 years. And that was the end of the 2,000 years of chaos. Over the next 488 years, from when Avram Avinu discovered Hashem at the age of 52 and was told, Lech Lecha Me'artzecha, the exact number of years, 488 years, passed from the time that the Torah, the Alpayim Shana of Torah began, those 488 years, until the Torah was finally solidified when Moshe Rabbeinu finished the Torah in the 40th year in the Midbar, is the same number of years, obviously, because it's Avram Avinu, that passed from the time that Hashem promised Avram Avinu would have Eretz Yisrael. That Avram Avinu, who was the one who really began the entire enterprise of Torah Judaism, was also the same person who received the gift of Eretz Yisrael. So that 488 years after Avram Avinu discovered the Ribbono Shel Olam, and 488 years after Avram Avinu was promised Eretz Yisrael, the two of them together, Torah and Eretz Yisrael, after 488 years, walked hand in hand. Shtei Rein, two friends, delo misparshin, that never separate from each other, that it's impossible for them to leave each other. Those two friends, Eretz Yisrael and the Torah, those two dear best friends walked together hand in hand as the Jewish people crossed over with a complete Torah, given by Moshe Rabbeinu, the completion of the promise, the journey that Avram Avinu began, and the promise that we would enter Eretz Yisrael, was fulfilled together with the Torah and Eretz Yisrael being conquered at the same time. So in Olam, in Shana, in Nefesh, Eretz Yisrael and Torah are inseparable. Last week we studied a small little piece from the Arve Nachal, of David Shlomo Eibshitz, where we explained that just like every Jew has a chelek in Torah, a letter that connects to their soul, 600,000 Jews receive the Torah at Har Sinai, 600,000 letters in the Torah, so too every Jew has a chelek in Eretz Yisrael. And we learned the Sfas Emes, that we were counted two times in the Midbar, essentially, two essential times of counting. One, as we were about to receive the Torah, there was a counting for the Jews, and one, a second time, as we were about to enter into Eretz Yisrael. Because in both of those times, it was essential that we would come to the core of the 600,000 Jews, each one having a chelek in Torah. So that piece from Arvi Nachla, I promised we would study the other half of it this week. And we'll see just how deep this relationship goes. In space, in time, in soul, the Torah and Eretz Yisrael are linked. And the Arvi Nachla says, I heard from Chacham Echad, from a certain wise person, who we have a tradition was the none other than the Maggid of Mezrich. The same teaching appears in other Sfarim. We have a tradition, this is from the Maggid of Mezrich. And before we read this teaching, I just want you to look at the very last line in source number 7. Ad kan divrei ha-chacham. What we're about to read, the Arvi Nachal's response and reaction to this was, here ends the words of this wise person, Usvatayim Yishak, and his lips should be kissed for saying such a beautiful pearl of wisdom that we're about to learn together. So the Arvei Nachal says from this Chacham Echad that he heard, to explain the Pasuk in Yehoshua and in Shoftim that we find, Sha'amar Kalev Bevoa al Dvir, V'shem Dvir Lifnim Kiryat Sefer. That Kalev came and he came to a place called Dvir, which was originally called Kiryat Sefer. And Kalev said, Asher yika es Kiryat Sefer, velachda venasati lo es achsa biti liisha. Kalev, who was a warrior, and who was a quasi-general figure in the conquering of Eretz Yisrael, said, whoever comes and conquers Kiryat Sefer, whoever can come and conquer Kiryat Sefer, I will give him my daughter in marriage. V'yilchda Asniel ben Kenaz, and Asniel ben Kenaz came along and conquered the city of Kiryat Sefer, and as was promised, he ended up marrying the daughter of Kalev. And so the Jewish people conquered the city of Kiryat Sefer, of Dvir. So listen to this, unbelievable. Several questions. V'kasha lama b'chol makom shehalchu lo haya kavid lehem lechvosh. I don't understand. The Jewish people mamash marched through Eretz Yisrael. Walls fell down in front of us. Miracles, stones fell out of the sky. Incredible nisim, v'niflo. So all of a sudden we come to the city called Kiryat Sefer, and we had big trouble. We had big, big trouble conquering Kiryat Sefer. Udvir haya kaved lahem ad shehutzrech Kalev lomar asher yika, until Kalev had to say, whoever steps up and bravely conquers this land of Kiryat Sefer, this portion of the land of Eretz Yisrael, he'll be able to have my daughter in marriage. Two, and furthermore, v'shem devir lefnim Kiryat Sefer. Who cares if Dvir was called Kiryat Sefer before it was conquered as Dvir? My nafka mina ich shma hi matchila. Who cares? Why is that essential? And furthermore, v'tu, asher yikas Kiryat Sefer hayalele meimar, asher yikas Dvir. Why are we going reverting back to the original name that it was called? Kilama yuskor shma harishon. V'tu, and furthermore, the whole thing is a mystery, the entire pasuk. Asher yika v'lachta Kefalashan. It says whoever will yika, whoever will conquer, and lachda is also a lashon of conquering, a double conquering. This is also superfluous. Four questions and one beautiful answer. V'razal amru Kiryat Sefer. What does it mean, Kiryat Sefer? Why was it called Kiryat Sefer? Elu shin halachos that Kiryat Sefer was called Kiryat Sefer because from the Lashon of Sefer, of like learning, of a book, of reading a book. Because when Moshe Rabbeinu died, because of the bitter mourning that the Jewish people responded to such a terrible loss of Moshe Rabbeinu, that in the process of our mourning the loss of Moshe Rabbeinu, we lost 300 halachos from the Torah. And Osniel ben Kenaz came and darshan the Torah and was with his pilpul able to bring back that Torah to the Jewish people that we had lost. V'zeh temua yoser, shebo razal lahut sikra ligamri mipashteha. You try to pass this off in some schools that are not of this type of Torah study. That's not pshat, that's ridiculous. That's not what the pasuk means. Kiryat Sefer, he came, Osniel ben Kenaz came and he darshaned up 300 halachos and they got back the... What about the text? Let's listen to this. So the Magid of Mezrich explained, Amar, this tzaddik, the Magid of Mezrich explains, says the Arvei Nachal, Ki ha'inin kachu, ki ma shekov shu Yisrael es ha'aretz shelo kederach ha'teva. The Jewish people marched through, and shelo bederach ha'teva conquered all of Eretz Yisrael with the greatest of ease. Ha'inu lefi sha'ator rehi defos ha'olam v'ator nivra ha'olam. The Eretz Yisrael who aduk b'Torah, v'chol chelak mimena chiyusahu michelak haTorah ha'mesiaches aleha. Because as we've just explained over the past 25-30 minutes, Eretz Yisrael and Torah are unified, are linked. One cannot fully exist without the other. U'kasher kiblu Yisrael haTorah v'kiyuma, nimtza kol chiyus Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael and our right to it is very much linked to our keeping the Torah. So the Arvi Nachal explains from the Maggid of Mezrich that when we lost those 300 halachos, those 300 halachos, which correspond to each part of Torah, corresponds to a different part of Eretz Yisrael. And there are thousands of halachos. We're not talking about 300 mitzvos. 300 halachos, details of Torah that were missing. And those 300 details of Torah, whatever they were somehow linked to our place in Kiryat Sefer. There's Torah that links to Yericho, there's Torah that links to Yerushalayim, there's Torah that links to Akko, to Tveria, to all the places that we'll study together. There's Torah that links to Kiryat Sefer, and it was missing, it was gone. And so now we understand the double lashon of conquering. Kalev said, without that Torah, we can't conquer Kiryat Sefer. Because every part of Eretz Yisrael is linked to the Torah, and if we don't have the Torah for this place, we won't be able to conquer this place. So there was a double conquering. First, Othniel ben Kenaz came and he reconquered that area of Torah. And once he reconquered that fertile soil of Torah, Memele he was able to conquer that place called Dvir, which was originally called Kiryat Sefer. Kiryat Sefer Milashim, reading the Sefer Torah. And this is why Kalev had to promise, because only somebody who would be able to master to rebuild the Torah with their pilpul would be able to conquer this place of Kiryat Sefer. And so indeed, Othniel ben Kenaz, who came and he reconquered that chelik of Torah that had gone missing, was able to conquer Kiryat Sefer. And the same thing is true for all of us, that our chelik that we'll find, each one of our letters that we spoke about last week, which is illuminated most brightly and which shines and which vibrates most brightly in Eretz Yisrael, the music of our soul, which begins to play when we're in Eretz Yisrael, doesn't play the same way if the Torah which links us to Eretz Yisrael, which links us to that land, is not activated. So we come back to the original teaching that we learned from Rav Techtel, that there seems to be this gezeiras shava between Eretz Yisrael and Torah. Torah tziva lanu Moshe morasha, that the Torah is called a morasha for us, and at the same time, v'nasati osa lachem morasha, Eretz Yisrael was given over to us also as a morasha. So the Yerushalmi in Bava Basra, as we're now coming to the end of the shir, explains to us that this is not just a reality. It's true. Olam, Shana, Nefesh, Eretz Yisrael is completely tied, bound, best friends with the Torah. And each chelek of Eretz Yisrael is tied to a different chelek of the Torah. It's true. But it's not just a truth, but it's a responsibility for all of us. Because as the Gemara says in Bava Basra, for the sake of time, we won't read it inside right now. In the Yerushalmi and Vavabasra and Daf Chaf Gimel, Amud Aleph, there's an essential difference between a Morasha and a Yerusha. Because as the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, Torah eino Yerusha lecha. It's not a Yerusha for you. And all the Mefarshim on Pirkei Avos said, when it's not a Yerusha, Torah Tzivil and Moshe, Morasha Kilas Yaakov. It is a Yerusha. The difference between a Yerusha and a Morasha is that a Yerusha comes to us by way of a windfall. It comes just out of the blue. A Yerusha is something that comes without any effort. It comes automatically. You don't have to struggle to receive it. A Morasha means it's an inheritance, but it's an inheritance that has a responsibility also. It's an inheritance that comes with a certain drive internally from the person to make it happen. It doesn't come to you automatically. It's yours, but you have to come pick it up. And so Eretz Yisrael and Torah together are called a morasha because they are both a responsibility. There's a responsibility to take care of Eretz Yisrael b'derech gashmi. There's a responsibility to take care of Eretz Yisrael b'derech ruchani. And without the Torah, you cannot truly arrive at Eretz Yisrael b'derech gashmi. And without Eretz Yisrael b'derech gashmi, you cannot truly arrive at the Torah. The This is the reason why when Yeshua, in the very beginning of Sefer Yeshua, is being instructed by Hashem, you know, you're about to enter into Eretz Yisrael, Chazak v'yamatz ki ata tanchil asa am azeh esa aretz asher nishbati la'avosam la'asei islam. That Yeshua is saying, being told, 488 years since Avram Avinu, it's finished, we're ready, and you're going in. And 488 years since the Yemei HaTorah, since those Alpayim Shel Torah, we're there. The Torah is finished, Eretz Yisrael is finished. Chazak v'yamatz. Rak chazak v'yamatz ma'od l'shmor l'asos k'chol ha'Torah asher tziv chamosha avdi. Al tasur mimenu yalminu smol l'man taskil b'chol asher teilech. If you want to be able to succeed at conquering Eretz Yisrael, you need an army. It's true. But if you want to succeed at conquering Eretz Yisrael, lo tasir al tasur mimenu yalminu smol chazak v'yamatz. Rak chazak v'yamatz. Two times chazak v'yamatz. Chazak v'yamatz, be brave because you're conquering Eretz Yisrael. But rak chazak v'yamatz. But realize, and as the Malbim writes, and others write, rak is a lashon of miut. That really what you need to do, you need to be chazak v'yamatz to conquer yourself in terms of being strong to go and conquer Eretz Yisrael. But rak chazak v'yamatz. But you know what the real chazak v'yamatz is? Al tasur mimenu yaminu smol, do not go away from Torah's Moshe one drop. Lo yomosh sefer Torah zemi picha v'yigisa bo yomam v'layla l'man tishmor l'asos k'chol asher k'chol ha'kosov bo ki az tatzlich es darkecha v'az taskil. Because if you don't let the Torah depart from your mouth for a single second, you'll be zochet to conquer Eretz Yisrael. You ever read these psukim before? It's bizarre. What does it have to do with conquering Eretz Yisrael? Over and over again, Hashem tells David HaMelech, and David HaMelech tells Shlomo, tell your children, you want to be a king over Eretz Yisrael? You want to be a melech? If you hold strong to the Torah, so the Torah and Eretz Yisrael are two friends that stay together forever. But as soon as one of them leaves, the other one leaves. That's why when Yeshua is about to go conquer the first time by Yericho, in Parakei, after all the preparations have been made, the musr that Yeshua gets in that moment, perhaps some of us remember, Perkei, Vayhi Bayos Yeshua B'Yericho, Yeshua was mamish there by Yericho, about to conquer the first city of Eretz Yisrael. Vayisa Einav, he raised up his eyes, Vayar V'hinei Ish Omid L'Negdo, there was a person standing there. V'charbo Shalufa B'Yado, there was a person who turns out to be a malach standing there with a sword in his hand, and Yeshua says, who are you? And he says, I'm a malach Hashem Tzvakos. Right, I'm Sar Tzva Hashem. Ata Boi, I'm coming right now. I'm coming right now to you. And the Gemara in Erevin and the Gemara in Megillah, both of them citing the same teaching from Rabbi Abba Bar Papa, what does it mean? What did the Malach mean when he said, I'm coming now? So as they were preparing for war, the Gemara says, Amar lo, emish bitaltem tamid, shal bein arbaim v'achshav bitaltem talmud Torah. He gave Yeshua a stern rebuke as they're about to enter Eretz Yisrael. Yesterday, you were mevatel the tamid. The Jewish people with the Mishkan about to enter Eretz Yisrael, you were mevatel the carbon tamid. And today, you stopped learning Torah as you were preparing for battle. There was no regular shir this morning. You were so busy with the battle, nobody gave shir, nobody was learning Torah. So Yeshua said back to him, says the Gemara, Al eza mehem bata. So why did you come? Which one of those two things was the real problem? Amar lo ata bati, I came now. I came now, not yesterday. Yesterday you were mevatel the tamid. You weren't doing some of the mitzvos, okay. But you left the Torah. The Torah, which will be machzeras lemutav, that even if it's true that sometimes the mitzvos aren't happening in the perfect way, but as long as we're standing, like the Medrash says in Eicha Rabbah, and Hashem says, Halavai, the Jewish people should leave some of the mitzvos, but they should stay fast to the Torah, because the Torah will bring them back to the mitzvos, even if they leave it for a little bit. Ata bati, I'm coming now because you're mevatel Torah. You cannot conquer Eretz Yisrael. You cannot truly conquer your own personal chelik in Eretz Yisrael without the Torah. That's why there's a number of deos, the Gemara in Brachos, in source number 12. The Gemara says that when we mention in benching Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Chem de Tov or Chava, and Birchas Haaretz, you're not really Yotze unless you also mention Bris and Torah. Eretz Chem de Tov or Chava, that you gave us, but we say al brischa shechasamta v'sreinu v'al torascha shilmaritanu. You ever ask yourself, what is Torah doing in this bracha, which is miyuchad? It's called the Birchas Ha'aretz. HaTorah Shilumaritanu, the Gemara says in brachos, that we're not Enu Yotze, you're not Yotze, that bracha of Birchas Ha'aretz, if you don't mention HaTorah Shilumaritanu, the Torah that you gave us, Hashem. Because it's a responsibility that if you want to have Eretz Yisrael, you have to have Torah, the two of them go together. And if you want to have Torah in its fullest form, you have to have Eretz Yisrael. It's a Shnat Shmita. And so this mystery of the beautiful relationship between Torah and Eretz Yisrael explains an old question which actually made its way into our common parlance, the way that people speak. When people want to say, you know, like, in English we say, if someone's trying to compare two things that are not so comparable, so you say, you're comparing apples and oranges, right? So in Hebrew, in Eretz Yisrael, you say, Ma inyan shmita itzel har Sinai, which is a beautiful thing that Jews in Eretz Yisrael say that, even Jews who don't even know the original source of what that comes from. Ma inyan shmita itzel har Sinai is a rabbinic Talmudic refrain, based on the following pasuk. The pasuk says, in Parshas Bahar, Vayidabra Hashem Moshe Bahar Sinai Leimor, Hashem spoke to Moshe at Har Sinai saying, Daber al bnei Yisrael v'amart aleihem ki savo al ha'aretz asher ani nosein lachem v'shavta aretz shavas l'Hashem. Hashem gives Moshe Rabbeinu the mitzvah of Shemitah. The beautiful mitzvah of Shemitah that we're in the middle of observing together. So all the mefarshim, Rashi quotes the Maimer Chazal from Toras Kohanim and Ma'inyan Shemitah l'tzer. Moshe Rabbeinu received this at Har Sinai. Of course he received it at Har Sinai. He received everything at Har Sinai. Moshe Rabbeinu received all the mitzvot at Har Sinai. So, why all of a sudden, when it comes to the Shemitah, does the Torah tell us, Vayidabra Hashem Moshe Bahar Sinai Leimor, Hashem spoke to Moshe at Har Sinai when he gave the Torah, and he told him that when you come to Eretz Yisrael, observe the Shemitah. So again, we don't have time to read it right now inside, because I don't want to keep you guys too late, but the Kli Yakar explains that, and we shouldn't even really need the Kli Yakar's explanation, but the Kli Yakar explains that it's so obvious that Shmita Sa'aretz, which gives, right, we speak about the Kedushas Shmita, the Kedushas Aperos of Shmita, the Kedusha of Shmita, the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, those Eser Kedushas that we spoke about, the first of which is Eretz Yisrael compared to other lands, which the Mishnah says in Kalim, the reason that Eretz Yisrael is Kadosh from all other lands is that Eretz Yisrael has Shmita and it has Truma, it has the Zenin of Shmita. The Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, which gives the Peros Shvias their Kedusha, when we ingest those Peros Shvias, the Ramban says we're doing a mitzvah d'oraisa, and we're having Kedusha in our bellies, in our stomachs. That Kedusha of the Peros of Eretz Yisrael, just simple Peros, it's the same Peros. Or at least on the outside, so they look. But that Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael draws its Kedusha from Har Sinai. Ma inyan shmita etzel Har Sinai? Is that really a question after everything we just learned over the past 45 minutes? Ma inyan shmita etzel Har Sinai? What does shmita have to do with Har Sinai? What does Kedushas Eretz Yisrael have to do with Har Sinai? It has everything to do with Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. It has everything to do with Kedushas Har Sinai. The two of them are inseparable. So just in the last 5 minutes, there's a big, big problem. As a bit of a disclaimer for future shirim going forward, we should know that our intention here is not, as I mentioned, Darch Ktsara last week. This is not. We're not here to learn politics. We're not here to learn. We're here to learn Torah, and to see what the Torah says about Eretz Yisrael, and to feel passion for Eretz Yisrael. All Jews feel passion for Eretz Yisrael. It's just that we're arguing sometimes about how we should express that passion. Everyone feels passionate about Eretz Yisrael. You can't help but feel that in a certain sense, everything that we just spoke about, and the promise, and those very, very hard psukim, I didn't even want to put them in the Makoros, those hard psukim that speak about when we don't keep the Torah in Eretz Yisrael, so we're spit out of the land, and the land doesn't want us. And Chas v'Shalom, Al Tiftach Pele Satan to be Mekatrig, but each person knows Maris Nafsho, and we certainly don't feel, each of us, in our own way, we don't feel necessarily that we're living up to the standards. And we look around us, and we don't feel necessarily, as I said, Al Tiftach Pele, I don't have to finish the sentence. But there's a remarkable passage from the Zohar, which is explained by the Chalban, in verses 16 and 17, we'll just read it together really quickly. The Zohar tells a story that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, the hero of the Zohar, the hero of the Jewish people, the Rebbe of all of us, Rabbi Shimon, Hayazol Mikaputkia Lalud. Rabbi Shimon was traveling from Kaputkia, which was a town which was not part of Eretz Yisrael, it's modern-day Turkey. It was outside of Eretz Yisrael, traveling from Kaputkia into Lud, meaning he was going from Eretz Yisrael, from outside of Eretz Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael, which is important for the story. The Zohar is not Stam giving us background information. He was traveling from outside of Eretz Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Yehuda Azal Imai, and Rabbi Yehuda was walking with him, and while they were walking together, they bumped into Rav Pinchas ben Yair. Vitrein guvrin tuunin abasre. And there were two chevra who were together with Rav Pinchas ben Yair. Rav Pinchas ben Yair was traveling, Rabbi Shimon was traveling, two of them were traveling together, each of them had people with them. Now the story takes a step back and says, Rav Pinchas ben Yair was traveling, and his donkey, Chamreya, his donkey, the Rav Pinchas, ti'inula velo azil. It stopped, it was a loaded donkey, and it was like very heavy, laden, and it stopped in its tracks. It refused to move. If you know a little bit about the donkey of Rav Pinchas ben Yair, it was a very special donkey. There's a story in the Gemara, a humorous story, that it was once kidnapped, and it refused to eat because the Ganavim who stole the donkey didn't take trumas and maestros from the food of the donkey. It was firmer than some of us. And the Gemara says that if we think that the earlier generations were like malachim, then we're like people. But if we think that they were like regular people, so we're like donkeys. And then the Gemara says, and not even just like any donkey, but we're like regular donkeys. We're not like the donkey of Rav Pinchas ben Yair. That was special. And then the Gemara tells that story. So Rav Pinchas ben Yair's donkey was not Stam, a donkey. He stopped in his tracks. He refused to move. So Rav Pinchas ben Yair said, my donkey's not moving. My donkey's so holy. Right? Which tells you more about Rav Pinchas ben Yair than his donkey, actually. Amar Rav Pinchas said, Shvikule, leave him alone. He said to the two guys who were traveling with the donkey, he said, leave him alone. Dehareicha, because he obviously smells, Reicha de Anpin Chadatin, he smells a new face, a new soul. My donkey knows something's up. Something's going on. Adi'inun tama nafak Rav Shimon mi basar chad tanara. As Rav Pinchas ben Yair was saying this to these two guys who were walking with him, he said, leave the donkey alone. So Rav Shimon, who was not so far away, that the donkey must have sensed, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai was nearby. So Rav Shimon jumped out from behind some brush or something, some bush, some sort of place where he couldn't be seen. Natol chamra v'azel. So then the donkey started moving towards Rav Shimon. Amr of Pinchas v'lo amart l'chu. Did I not tell you that my donkey sensed someone special is here? There's someone on the way. There's someone coming to meet us who's like a new soul, a new face in the world. So the Zohar continues and tells how Rabbi Shimon and Rav Pinchas ben Yair, the two of them, they got together and they hugged and unbelievable. So they went and they sat together underneath a tree. The Gemara says, and Rav Pinchas said to him, about halfway down, Amr Rav Pinchas, Nesiv Beduch Chad Demili Daraisa. Come, let's speak a little bit of Torah. Yasu, they sat down under the tree. Amr Rav Pinchas, Mestakil Havina Dahal Tchias HaMesim, Ka'archa Da'ara, Archa Yavid Lon Kutshabrichu, Umaha V'hashta Kadma, Delahave Kedin Basra. Rav Pinchas Ben Yair said, when I look and I think about Tchiyas HaMesim, this is what I see. That the way that Tchiyas HaMesim is going to take place is in the exact opposite way than the way that things take place now. Meaning what? Meaning Rav Pinchas Ben Yair said that now what happens is when a person, Rachmana Litzlan, leaves the world, so they begin to, not to be too graphic, but they begin to unravel, let's say, and they start to decompose, and then finally after the skin decomposes and the body decomposes, so then the bones are left over, and then the bones begin to also disappear until finally the person goes back to dirt. But Rav Pinchas Ben Yair said, when it comes to the times of Mashiach, it's going to be the opposite way. That it's not going to be that first the skin and then but when we come back, it'll be kind of like reversal of the process. First the bones, and then the ligaments, and then the tissue, and then the skin on top of everything. It'll be the opposite. He said, "How do I know that? Minolan, how do I know? Mi'inan atzamos. I know from those atzamos that Yechezkel saw in that remarkable vision that we read as the Haftorah, that Yechezkel saw the valley of bones, and they all of a sudden the bones started coming back to life, and then on top of the bones, all types of sinews, and then on top of that the muscles, and on top of that the skin. And that's how the redemption is going to come," said Rav Pinchas Ben Yair. So it happens to be, for the sake of honesty, Rabbi Shimon responds to Rav Pinchas Ben Yair, and he has a different way of looking at it. But the Chalban, in source number 17, in his Sefer Akitzu V'Ra'anenu, writes the most remarkable thing. The question we asked a moment ago was, our return to Eretz Yisrael, in a certain sense, we look at ourselves and we don't necessarily see Torah and Eretz Yisrael coming hand in hand in such a smooth way. And it's happening la'at la'at, it's unbelievable. Hashem should look at all the progress that the Jewish people have made over the past 60 years. Unbelievable, the yeshivos and just Otzer Haaretz and Shemitah and all the different things that we're building, it's unbelievable. But in the Talei Chaim, the Chalban wrote the most amazing thing. Listen to this. And we'll end with this. Af she yitzia l'galus hatchala b'ibur hadas. Even though it's true that when we left Eretz Yisrael, the process of leaving Eretz Yisrael was like, as the Torah explained, if you don't keep the Torah, if you lose sight of the mission, if you lose the mission statement, if you lose your das, shegadar b'kvosav yitzia min ha'aretz. What comes on the foothills of losing the Torah, of course, they can't live without each other. If we throw the Torah out of Eretz Yisrael, then Eretz Yisrael throws us out of Eretz Yisrael. Hine ha-ge'ula ba b'seder hefach. But the secret of this passage in the Zohar, which he references in the footnotes, he just says, look at the Zohar over there. The secret of this passage in the Zohar, of what Rav Pinchas Ben Yair is saying, is that the secret of ge'ula is the exact opposite. The secret of ge'ula is that just like as when a person leaves the world, first there's a disintegration of the body and the muscle disappears and then the bones disappear. And when we come back by Tchiyas HaMesim, the Tchiyas HaMesim takes place, that the bones come first and then the muscle and then the skin on top of that. In the same way, when we left Eretz Yisrael, and we won't read it inside, but I encourage you to read it inside yourself. When we left Eretz Yisrael the first time, it was because we lost the Torah. There was a disintegration of our bodies, of our flesh, of our skin, melted away, which exposed the bones, and then the bones themselves rot, and we got kicked out of Eretz Yisrael. The structure itself of the land kicked us out. But as we're returning now, after thousands of years, the Jewish people are returning to Eretz Yisrael, it's not a guarantee, it's a tefillah. It's not a guarantee. But it's a tefillah that each of us have as we're sitting here together in an apartment in Yerushalayim. That we're davening that this vision of Rav Pinchas Ben Yair, that Rav Pinchas Ben Yair said that the ultimate redemption, the ge'ula, not only the Tchiyas HaMesim of the bodies, but the Tchiyas HaMesim of Ruach Yisrael Saba, of the Jewish people, when we're coming back to ourselves, that returning to Eretz Yisrael is the first step. That's the bones coming back together. The bones are reforming. And on top of the bones we superimpose, and this is our mission, this is our challenge, that we have to superimpose on top of those bones the Torah and to put the muscles back on and then to put the skin back on so that there should be a healthy, vibrant Eretz Yisrael. But in the same way that we left, and it happened first, we lost the Das of Torah and then we lost Eretz Yisrael, and Tchias HaMeisim also happens in the reverse order, so too our return to the land of Eretz Yisrael, we're davening all the time, that it should be Hashem's will, that our returning to Eretz Yisrael should be that step of the redemption, which is the bones reforming, so that on top of those bones, we'll be able to be healthy, we'll be able to be vitalized, we'll be able to activate those letters of our souls that we spoke about last week and that we touched on a little bit this week, so that on top of the bones of Eretz Yisrael, we'll be able to put the basar, and on top of the basar, we'll be able to put the or, we'll be able to put the skin. We'll all be able to walk upright, komu miyus la'artzenu, not bent over because we're being chased away from whatever land that we're in, but we'll be able to be upright, proud, walking into Eretz Yisrael, full-bodied, with the bones, with the muscles, with the skin, to go greet together Mashiach Tzidkenu b'mehir b'meinu.